This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.
A pretty long series on talking about the life of David, King David, a man known after God's own heart throughout the Old Testament in the line of Jesus. And thank you, Manny. And we've been talking about David and learning how we can learn from his life as well. And so we want to encourage you this morning, if you take notes, we're a big note-taking church. There's a lot of good things, a lot of good meat that God wants to impart to you. I think the thing I love about David, the more I'm involved in it, the more I hear it, the more I see it, is I feel like David, you could see so much of his story in our story. There's so much that we can relate and correlate in our lives as we look through what he's gone through and how he had the challenges he was faced. And that's why I feel like this series, and we still have weeks left in it, but that is so important for us because we can see ourselves. Like, here's this shepherd boy, this young teenager, now brought into the anointed king. And you think God can't have a plan for your life? I mean, all you got to do is look at him and go, well, if God had a plan for him, surely he can have a plan for me. Like, he's like many of us. He was just going through the motions of life. He was just doing what he does every day, and God puts his fingerprint on him. And the same thing is true for your life. Like, you might feel like life is just normalcy. I'm going through the normalcies of life. But if you submit yourself to the Lord, you can see his plan activated in your life. So as David submitted to the process, because God absolutely had a process for him, he submitted to the process, and it wasn't probably what David would have chosen for himself, for sure. It's not the process he would have chosen, but yet he was faithful to the process. And because he was faithful, because he was submitted to the process, God led him to influence, and he led him to favor, and he led him to faithfulness and provision and all these things. And so we're going to go back today. We're going to go back to look at David, where David's now walked into his kingship. We've been talking about this for a little bit, where David's now finally the king. You know, he's no longer running from Saul. He's no longer living in caves. He's no longer the shepherd boy out tending flock. He's now been 15 years of waiting to become king, and he's walked into his kingship. He's into that process, and he goes there. He's finally walked into the major assignment on his life. What the whole anointing was is that he was going to be king. But let me pause for just a moment and tell you what didn't happen when he became king. What happened was that during that process, during the process of trying to become king, during that period of time from when he was anointed to the time that he actually became king and accepted the assignments, what he didn't do in that time was take matters into his own hands. Like, let me help you today, because I think that a lot of times we get frustrated with Christianity because we take matters into our own hands. Because we try to reason our way into and out of Christianity. We try to put Christianity into our own ideals, into our own ways of thinking. And that's honestly not going to work for us. Like, David didn't split the kingdom. He had every opportunity in the midst of his craziness before he took his assignment. He had every opportunity to split the kingdom of God. He had every opportunity, this Saul that was chasing after him, he had every opportunity to take Saul out. It would have ended all of his problems, but it wasn't God's plan. And David was submitted to God's plan. He wasn't submitted to David's plan. And boy, today we could really learn something from that. Like, he submitted to God. He let God take care of things. And we need to be encouraged today. You need to be encouraged today that God will take care of things in your life if you let him. He'll take care of them. It's not our job. Like, in due time, and that's not always a fun thing to hear, but in due time, God will promote you in the right season and in the right time. And in this story, we'll see that Paul ends up dying. He finally is off the scene, which, by the way, can I just encourage you this morning? All David had to do was outlast Saul. All he had to do was outlast him. And hear me this morning. Some of you, you can win against the problems in your life. You just have to outlast them. You can win. You can overcome the problems of your life. You just have to outlast them. Stay faithful in your prayer. Stay faithful in serving. Stay faithful to the Lord. Don't quit. Don't grow bitter. Like, don't give in. Stay faithful and outlast those things and watch God's faithfulness in your life. So while Saul is fading off the scene, David is just shy, just about to walk into his purpose, starting to walk into it and what God has for him. And we're going to see that today. 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, it starts off this way. Look at what it should be on the screen. It says this, in the course of time. Let's pause for a moment. There's that phrase again. We heard it last week if you were here. In the course of time. Boy, God has a funny way of time. And time is not always, his time is not always our time. And it says there, in the course of time. This is that course of time. So Saul has died, and the people are asking, are people without a king, and David doesn't assume he's the next king. Like, wouldn't it be interesting? David could just say, hey, I was anointed king 15 years ago. Saul's gone. I'm the next king. I love this about David. David didn't automatically assume, okay, Saul's gone, I'm the next king. Look what, he doesn't assume that. What David does is he prays and he goes to the Lord. Look what he says. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, shall I go up to the one of the towns of Judah, he asked. The Lord said, go up. And David asked him, where shall I go? And he says, to Hebron, the Lord answered. So David says, where shall I go? And it's interesting, church. It's interesting because he didn't go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where the palace is. Jerusalem is the capital. But God says, go to Hebron. And I'm going to tell you why in a little bit. Goes on in verse 4, it says this, then the men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the tribe of Judah. When David was told, it was the men from Jabesh Gilead who had buried Saul. So this finally is David's big moment. Okay, he's anointed king over the tribe of Judah. He's anointed king, and after years of heartache and after years of betrayal and struggle, he walks into his kingship. And how did he make that happen? Like, how did he make his ultimate calling? And probably the greater question for us on this Sunday morning is, how do we make it happen for us? Like, how do we walk into the calling that God has for our lives? Maybe that assignment he has for your life, maybe that relationship, maybe that family, that church, that impact, like maybe you have dreams that God has given you. How do you make that all come together and happen in your life? Well, today I want to title this series talk, and really looking at David's life, simply this: how do we positioned for promotion? How do we position ourselves in such a way to experience all the blessings, to experience all the favor that God has for your life? Like, David was anointed king, but he had to make some intentional decisions that would position his life. Intentional decisions like, well, this decision is going to position me here, this decision is going to position me there. He had to make some intentional decisions for his life to be promoted to the assignment that God has for him. And hear me this morning. I don't know where you're at on your journey with the Lord, but I want to tell you, there is nobody in this room that does not have a calling on your life. Everyone in this room has a calling on your life. And I want you to hear this. There is something great inside of each and every one of us. But hear me, it's not going to happen for you automatically. It doesn't just happen. There's got to be some intentional decisions of what you do to see your life put in such a way, to placed in such a position to see the blessings and to see the favor of God poured out upon your life. You have some intentional things that you have to do so that you are positioning yourselves for the promotion that God wants to give you. Positioning yourself for the blessings and the favor and the assignment that God has for your life. But hear me, if we aren't careful, we will try to get there the way the world gets there. We'll try to get there the way the world goes. The way the world gets to promotion is so different than the way that God gets to promotion. Like, in the world, have you ever noticed in our world today that everyone has an opinion? Like, everyone has an opinion on the way you should act, the things you should do, the way you should think. Everyone has two cents on how you get from here to there. And it's normally along the lines of like, well, you just got to hustle more. You just got to work harder. You just got to run over people to get there. A lot of times it ends with this me, 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 me. Like, I don't know about you, but I've kind of gotten tired of all the opinions, right? Like the mom on social media who says, you know what? I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning. I ran 5 miles. I then made some sourdough bread. And I cleaned the house and did the laundry all before the kids got out of bed. And I'm like, you're not a real person. And then at the end of that, they want to say, and I can tell you how to do it for $39.99, right? I can get you there. Like the person on the opinion, I'll give you 3 steps to be a millionaire, right? Buy a nice suit, look handsome, clean cut, you know, do these types of things. And the reality is that's not going to bring you to the next level of promotion. It's just not going to do it. That's not going to bring you to the favor and the blessing of God. God is sovereign, which means he can do what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. But I believe that the sovereignty of God responds to lives that are committed and submitted to him. I wrote it down this way. It's just, if you're taking notes, it's just really this simple. It is God who promotes our lives. It's God who promotes our lives. And you got to lean into this morning, because David understood this. He understood that his promotion did not come from what he did, but it came from the Lord above. Look what he wrote in Psalm 75. He wrote it this way. No one from the east or the west or from the desert can exalt themselves. It is God who judges. He brings one down. He exalts another. Like, you can't make this happen on your own. It's God who exalts us. The call of God on your life is too big for you and I to try to hustle our way to get it. It's just too big for that. It's God that positions people, that places people. And if you want to position your life so that God will use and bless your life, then you've got to get an alignment with what God requires of you, so that you can experience the promotion in his right time and in his right season. Let me say it to you this way again, if you're taking notes. You don't push yourself into promotion. You trust God to elevate you in his perfect timing. You don't push your way into it. You trust God that he's going to elevate you, and he will do that in his perfect timing. And we get frustrated because we don't have that quick, instant, microwave actions from God. Like, why isn't God happening? And he can absolutely do that, but sometimes he doesn't operate like that. Like that quick action, give it to me quickly, God. And I want to encourage you, don't elevate yourself. Wait for God's perfect timing. He's got amazing timing if you're just willing to wait for it. And we wait and we submit and we trust as we continue to serve God. And he will position you in his perfect timing. So the question for us this morning is, how do we position our life for the promotion? Like, how do we position our life so that we can have the favor of God, so that we can have all the blessings of God? So I want to give you 3 things this morning that I think are contrary to the world's way of positioning ourselves. So simply this, how to be positioned for promotion, looking at the life of David. How do we position ourselves for promotion? Let me give you the first one. How about this? How about we just live submitted? Amen. Just live submitted. And this is different because you don't just make it happen. You submit to the lordship of Jesus. And this is so tough because God does require things of us. He does absolutely require things of. We have in the church in 2025, we have so deconstructed faith to make it so plug and play, to make it so easy. We've deconstructed faith all over the place. We did, and make it and say, well, and try to make it fit our way. We've deconstructed Christianity and the church that we have developed a casual view of God. Like this casual view of God, like, well, God just wants me to be happy. Well, God just accepts me for who I am. And a lot of that's absolutely true, but there's also things God requires of you. There's an expectation that God places on you. One of the things that I've learned in my many, many years of marriage is simply this. It's not good for my wife to drive when I'm in the car. It doesn't work out well for us. We've tried it, and we keep trying it. And she'll say, I can drive. And I'm like, okay, let's try it. And the problem is this. Honestly, it's not her. Like, she's actually a really great driver. Like, she's got a better record than I got, right? But the issue is, I'm what people kind of describe as a control freak. Are there any control freaks in the house with me today? Raise your hand. Anybody at all? Anybody sitting next to one and you can raise their hands for them, right? Come on. The control freak. And my wife gets frustrated because while she's driving, I'm directing. Like, and it's just not good for us. So like we're in a conversation and Kim is safe and slow. And she believes the speed limit is the most you go. And I believe the speed limit is a suggestion of how fast you go. Right? The floor is the speed limit, right? She's holier than me, so that's cool. But so she does this thing, if I don't know if you've ever experienced this more, but she does this thing is the more we talk, the slower the car goes. Right? And I'm like, Kim, it's slowing down. You're slowing down. We've got a destination to get to, right? So I'm directing, you know, speed up, turn here, you know, you can go up, car can go up there. Watch that car right there. There's a red light there. Watch this, watch that. And finally, she'll turn to me and say, you know the phrase, do you want to drive? And she'll say, I'll pull over if you want to drive. And I'm like, yes. Finally, back to the way it should be. Here's the problem with that. How many of you know many of us do that with our walk with God? We say things like, God, you're in control of my life, but he's not. We say things like, God, you have control, but I know a shortcut. God, you want to go a direction, but I want to go this direction. God, you have control, but this is my money. I've earned it. Here's a small portion, but that's it. I know your word tells me that I should live my life this way, but you know what? You're cool, God. You get me. I'm going to do it my way. And you know what God does? God responds to you the way that Kim responds to me. Fine. You just drive. You just drive. And God releases it to you. And hear me this morning. That's why you're in the pain that you're in. And that's why you're frustrated right now. And that's why you're doubting right now, because you were never called to control your own life. You were called to submit your life to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to release control. And by the way, when you release control, I think this, when we finally get to that place of saying, God, I'm releasing full control of you, I believe this, it releases all pressure as well. Because now the results are no longer on you. Guess what? They're on God. And God will promote you and he will direct you in the right time and in the right place because he's the Lord of your life and you're not. You've released it to him. And that's what David did. David went through this season where he is facing betrayal after betrayal and heartache after heartache and hiding and hiding and running. And it looked confusing, but God was in charge the whole time. And finally, Saul dies and David just didn't just go, well, this is my moment. Well, Saul's dead. Next up, check. No, the Bible tells us. What did David do? 2 Samuel reminds us again. What did he say? David inquired of the Lord. It was his first action. Not taking control. Not saying, I'm the new king. I was anointed 15 years ago. No. He went and he inquired of the Lord. I think if David was around in 2025, he would probably ask all of us in this room, are you a pray first people? Are you a prayer first people? Like, okay, God, do you want me to do this? God, do I buy this? God, do I change jobs? God, do I make this change? Do I make this decision? God, what do you want me to do? And David's not going to assume the decision. He's going to go to the Lord saying, God, what do you want me to do? Let me say it this way if you're taking notes. Stop assuming you know what's best for your life. Stop assuming that you know what's best for your life. Hear me this morning. It's pride that leads us to make quick decisions. It's pride that leads us to make these quick decisions based on what we think is best for our own lives. And I'm just saying in humility, for you and I to pause and to pray, saying, God, what is it that you want? God, what is your will in my situation? I'm not going to assume that I know what's best. God, I'm going to go to you and I'm going to submit my life to you. God, I live by your Spirit. What direction do you want me to go in? Then I do exactly what the Scripture teaches us. I'm going to pause and I'm going to wait for God's direction. That's how you live a life directed by the Spirit of God. You don't take matters into your own hands. You live submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that is what God has for you and me. That's the plan he has for our life. That's the prayer that David actually prayed. Look how he prayed this, right, in Psalms 37. He says this right as he's going in. He's talking about his kingship. And he says this, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. Like if you're frustrated with the outcome, start by committing your way to the Lord and see what happens. Some of you are making plans, you're making life decisions, you're making money decisions, you're making relationship decisions, and you're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to go. And here's what you do. You commit your way to the Lord. Your job is just commitment. Your job is just submission. And look what his job is. It goes on to read this. He prays this, he will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. He'll make it shine like the dawn. Your vindication like the noonday sun. And look at verse 7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Be still before the Lord and wait. I don't hate those words. Wait patiently. Who likes that? That's sinful. But it's not. Right? It doesn't connect with me. But let's be encouraged, let's be encouraged this morning. We are jumping to assumptions thinking that you and I know what's best for us. We're jumping to assumptions. We don't. It's our job to wait on the Lord. If you're taking notes, I just have come to this realization. It's pretty simple, but it's simply this. The secret to a satisfied life is simply a surrendered will. Just, I surrender to you, God. It offers you a satisfaction. It doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound very Americanized 2025. But it's the truth in the Christian life. To be satisfied is to be submitted. To constantly give God every bit of your plans and every bit of your desires and allow God to lead you. Because you are always, always surrendered to something. You act like you're free, but your reality is we're always surrendered to something. Some of you are surrendered to your emotions, and so you know what you do? You make emotional decisions. Some of you are surrendered to your friends, and so you make decisions based on pleasing people. Some of you are surrendered to your money, and so you make decisions based on false security. Some of you are surrendered to that 5-year plan you made, and it becomes your capture, your jail, it becomes your cage. Surrender yourself, I think, to the Spirit of God, to the Lordship of Jesus, and that will become the key to a satisfied life. It's doing things God's way, in God's timing, trusting him for his promotion, because my life belongs simply to him. So David, he lives this surrendered life to God, and God positioned his life for promotion. Let me give you a second. How do we be positioned? How can we be positioned for promotion? I love this one. How about this? Number 2, embrace small. Embrace small. Like you live submitted and then you embrace small. Like God gives people some big hopes. God gives you some big dreams. But they're always going to start with small acts of faithfulness. Like many times God gives us these small steps that don't normally make sense in our life. Why do I have to do this and why do I have to do that? And for us, what if we're missing the really big promotion? What if you're really missing out on those hopes and dreams because you're missing the small acts of faithfulness that God has put right in front of you? Like David's life can be summed up with one simple phrase, faithful with small. Just faithful with small. How did he become king over all of Israel? Well, your faithfulness with small things. He was faithful with small things that God put in front of him. He's the shepherd boy who God acknowledges for faithfulness. Like, he calls him literally a man after God's own heart. And it's all because of his small faithfulness. He was faithful when no one else was with him, when no one else was around. So he was doing the right thing, even when there wasn't an audience to see that he was doing the right thing. And I think it's important for us to understand where God recognizes how you and I live. He recognizes it. He recognizes that you're here this morning. He does. He recognizes when you're doing your best. He recognizes how you spend time with him. He recognizes if or you don't take the shortcuts to follow him. He recognizes your thoughts and your attitudes, all without anyone else ever recognizing those things. God recognizes it. Why? Because God's seeing how will they handle the small that I'm giving them so they can be promoted with the greatness I have for them. How are they handling those small things? But God's not going to give you the great things if you're not faithful with the small things. Because the great things, hear me, so true, the great things will crush you if you aren't prepared. They'll crush you. I remember when my daughter wanted me to teach her how to drive. She was 10 years old. So she was asking me, I can drive good. I know it. So I did what every great parent did. I threw her the keys of the car and said, go ahead, drive to the mall. Let's see how you do. So that's not a true story. None of that happened. Why? How many know it would be irresponsible for me as a father to give her something that could kill her and everyone else on the road? Hear me this morning. God's not going to give you more than you can handle. The reason he puts you through process is because he wants to develop you right now with the small task that he's put in front of you so that you can handle the big assignment that he has for you in the future. God always makes big dreams and realities come true through small acts of faithfulness. And we have dreams right here at our own church. Hear me. I am a dreamer. Sometimes I have to hold myself back. Like, why have we not seen all that I think we should see? But I have dreams for our church growing and expanding. And we have dreams. We sit around and say, wait till we have to add services because we have to make room. But I also know this. The only way we get there is by people serving in small, faithful ways. We have kids' ministries that sometimes we have to cancel our nursery and things because we don't have the people to work it. Or we have a youth group that needs leaders because our kids and youth ministry will only grow on the amount of leaders that decide to say, hey, I want to partner with you. Our worship team, our hospitality, our security, all the things that are here, these small things that seem so insignificant. But our God's only going to give us what we can handle. Like, if we can't handle it, then we don't grow. It rises and falls on service. It rises and falls on how we serve one another. And it's a dream. It's a dream that we have to see our church grow and to see it thrive even more. But it all falls on the small, embracing the small acts of service. And I think for us, I'm like, look, I'm just going to embrace this. It's a dream to see our church continue to grow. And I'm not going to despise the small beginnings. I'm going to embrace them. And it will lead us to greatness. If we are faithful with our building, if we are faithful with you, if we are faithful with the people that God will bring us, then God's going to say, okay, you can handle it, CLC. So I'm going to promote you, CLC. You can handle it. God, how many know God's not frivolous in how he hands out stuff? He's not frivolous how he just says, here you go, here you go, here you go. I think he's more strategic. He hands it out to people that can handle it. And that's why David's life was a life filled with process after process after process. He's like, oh, you can handle the sheep? All right, let me see how you handle the lion and the bear. Oh, you can handle the lion and the bear? Let me see how you can handle Goliath. Oh, you can handle Goliath? Let's see how you can handle Saul. Oh, you can handle Saul? Let's see how you can handle betrayal and betrayal. And as David handled it, it positioned his life for the kingdom, for what God had for him. But when he gets the kingdom, look at this. Look how he handles it. So 2 Samuel 5 gives us an overview, and it says it this way. I want you to get this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 5, start at verse 4. It says, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. So we read that, and we go, great, man, he's walking into his calling at 30 years old, and it's amazing, and he's got everything. Check the box. Let's end the story. He's in the palace. Things are going great. Not really. Look what it says. At Hebron is the next statement. Remember, he went to Hebron first before he went to Jerusalem. You got to understand something. Hebron was the capital of Judah. Hebron's the capital of Judah. And look what it says in the Bible. He reigned over Judah for 7 years and 6 months. Now, let me help you understand something. Now, there were 12 tribes of Israel. 12 tribes kind of all spread out. They were the 12 original colonies of Israel, right? And David, at this point, only goes to Hebron, and he only oversees and rules only one of the 12. He's not over all of Israel. He's just over Judah. And you know what he didn't do? He didn't sit there and go, well, God promised me 12 and I only have one. God said I was going to be king over Israel and now I only got this one. That's not what he did. No, it's more like this. God, this was more of his response. God, if you've given me one out of 12, I'm going to be faithful with my one. I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to handle it well. And I'm going to serve this one. I'm going to fight for this one. I'm going to pray for this one. And I'm going to do what's best for this one. And maybe it's the way that David handled the one that positioned him for next. Because look what the scripture finishes. And at Jerusalem, he reigned over all of Israel and Judah for 33 years. How he handled the one, I think God positioned him for God's promotion for all of Israel. In all of this, I think God is testing our heart. This is how God leads his people. How do you handle the small things that I give you? The Bible says that when the children of Israel, right, he brought them out of the promised land. They were in slavery for all those years. And he promises them this promised land, but he also gave them this promise. Look what it says, Exodus 23. I love it. Little by little. Little by little. I will drive them out before you, until you have increased enough to take possession of the land. Like he didn't just go, oh, you got it. Boom, there, have it all. No, little by little, until you've basically embraced the small things, then I will give you the full possession of the land. God didn't give them the whole thing right at the beginning. Why? Because he understands that it's little by little. That God is seeing, how will they handle the little? And he's looking at your life, church, and he's saying, how will you handle the little? How will you handle it so that I can give you the big blessings and the big favor? How will you handle the little so that they can experience all that God has for their life? And here's what I've recognized. How many know, God, you need to get this morning. God's ultimate plan comes in phases and stages. Yes. Not all at once. Right. It comes in phases in stages. God gives you and me big dreams. He gives us big hopes, but it's only accomplished little by little. It's only accomplished task after task, small steps of faithfulness along the way. And I don't know, I'll agree with you, it's frustrating for us, right? But even though it's frustrating for us, it's forming us into the person and into the character and into the drive so that we can handle all that God has for our lives. If he gave it to you all at once, it would crush you now. So God is preparing you. So embrace that preparation. Embrace the little by little. And that's why I love Zechariah, like one of my favorite verses in the Bible, a very familiar scripture where Zechariah writes this in Zechariah 4. He says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Just embrace it. Embrace the small things that God has for you. You've got big dreams and I'm going to change the world. I'm going to do amazing. I got these big dreams. I'm going to change the world. And yet right now, the only thing you're changing is diapers, right? I'm going to change the world. And the only thing you're changing is this and that. Don't despise the small beginnings. God's got a plan for you. Don't overlook the small things. I wrote down this way, listen, we cannot expect promotion without first embracing preparation. Just can't expect promotion without embracing preparation. And some of you are looking for that promotion. You're looking for the blessings of God. And God's saying, listen, I have it for you. I want to give it to you. But you got to embrace the preparation. Embrace the season that God's got you in right now. And I know that he will position you for the blessing and the favor he has for your life. So let me give you the last one. How to be positioned for promotion. When we submit our lives like David did, God, I'm going to submit to you. We embrace the small, like just be faithful, whatever little task that God has before you. But let me give this last one. I think it's this. We see in the life of David, how about we pursue service? David is promoted. And when he's promoted, he's not promoted the way the world looks at promotion. Like the world looks at promotion differently than the church does, right? The world thinks that promotion means once I'm promoted, I have to serve people less. Once I'm promoted, I don't have to deal with people anymore. I'm at another whole nother level. And you know what? We even see this in the church today where leaders and pastors get to such a level where they're unavailable. I think the kingdom of God is different. I think the more you go up, the more you serve. The more you go up, the more you serve, because that's the example of Jesus. So David is promoted not because he had some great anointing or great favor. He's promoted because the people recognized that he served. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 5 again. So Saul dies and they're looking for a new king. And here's the response. It says this, in the past, while Saul was king over us, you, David, were the one who led Israel on their military campaigns. In other words, you served. You put the people first. And it goes on to say, and the Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people Israel, and you will become their ruler. You stepped up, David, when no one else would. And because of that, I'm going to give you the title. I'm going to give you the blessing. I'm going to give you the favor. Let me say it to you this way, if you're taking notes. Your title might change, but your calling as a Christian never changes. Your title might change. Like you might change from single to married, but your calling never changes. You might change from employed to retired, but your calling never changes. You might go from parents of young kids to empty nesters. But the title never changes. The title changes, but the calling always stays the same. And what is the calling, church? The calling is to serve people. To serve people the way Jesus served people, which means to lay our lives down, to go the extra mile, to someone knowing who Jesus is. Like, you will never get to a place of spiritual maturity where you outgrow serving people. You're never going to get that spiritually mature. Like if we think when I get promoted, I get to stop serving, then God will never promote you. He'll never promote you because the promotion is so that we can serve at a greater level, especially the people that God's put into your life. And I have found when our relationships suffer, it's because we forgot to serve them. Like when my relationship with my wife suffers, it's because I forgot to serve her. When our relationship with the world suffers, it's because we forgot our primary assignment is to serve. When your relationship with your church suffers, it's because you forgot your assignment is to serve the church, not to serve yourself. I wrote down this way, because God is looking for a heart to serve, and then he promotes that person with position to lead. It's all about the heart. Is your heart about service? And listen, don't get it mixed up. Let's fight for the heart to serve. And when we do that, watch how God will promote your life. I mean, isn't that why Jesus came in the whole beginning? Isn't that really what Jesus came here to do? The Bible says and reminds us in the Gospel of Mark, for even the Son of Man, like God in flesh, came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life as a ransom for many. Like he understood his assignment. Like, shouldn't we also understand it? If Jesus understands his assignment, shouldn't we understand the same? And this is what we do. We lay down our desires. We lay down our ways. And may God convict us this morning if we've made it about these things. If we've made it about us and about our desires and about our ways. If we've made it, may God convict us that if those have been the primary things instead of serving the people around us. I'm just saying at CLC, let's serve well. It's the call of the kingdom of God. And that's why David walks into this kingship, because David becomes king. And we get this glimpse into his first response into his kingship. He gives us this first response. In the end, I'll end with this morning, but David gives us his first response into his kingship. When he takes over as king of Israel, he gives us a response in the Psalms. And I was thinking about this, like if I became king after 15 years of running, betrayal, living in caves, if I became king, this is Heath, what would I do? And you know what? I would probably have a vendetta. I would have a list of people who did me wrong. And I would like, I got some power now. You know what I mean? I would probably be, and thank God I'm not the king. But David becomes king, and his first response to promotion is, we see this in Psalms 18. It's literally his response. It's his prayer, his response, right after he becomes king. In Psalms 18, he writes it down, and he says this, the first thing he says, the Lord lives. The Lord lives. He didn't say, all hell, King David. He said, the Lord lives. And I'm sure in 15 years of running, he had doubts, just like you probably have doubts at times. I'm sure he had doubts when he's in those caves and he's in those seasons. And now he's sitting here and he's realizing, you know what? During my seasons, the Lord was alive and active. The Lord lives. He goes on to write his response. Praise be to my rock. Exalted be God my Savior. He is the God who avenges me, who subdues nations under me, who saves me from my enemies, who exalted me above my foes. From a violent man, you rescued me. Like David must have sat there in the palace, sitting on his throne, thinking, wait, wait, wait. God did not abandon me. God never left me. He was working it all together for good. And I see it now. He was there all along. He was working it all for my good, and he's giving God all glory and praise. And he writes these final statement in verse 49. Therefore, I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you among the nations. I will sing praises of your name. You know what David's response to promotion was? It was to praise the God who came through for him when nobody else did. It was to praise God for the hard times. It was to praise God for the good times. It was to praise God in all circumstances. Let me remind you, CLC, you are not that good to get the blessings of God in your life. We are all but a product of the grace of God. You're just not that good. I wish we were all that good, but we're just not that good to get all the blessings of God and all the favor of God in your life. It is all because of the product and the gracious and the grace and the power and the glory and the graciousness of our King, our Lord Jesus Savior. What would happen if we took that promotion that God gives us and we took that blessing and that favor that God puts on us? What if we took that and we turned it into praise? Like, can we just take a moment and celebrate that God has come through for you? Can we just take a moment and be joyous that God has come through for you? He has healed you. He has forgiven you. He has restored you. He's provided for some of you. He has blessed you. He has come through for you over and over and over again. And you and I can stand in a place and just like Psalm and say, the Lord lives in 2025. The Lord lives. Praise be to my God and my rock. Exalted be my God and my Savior. He is the God who avenges me. He was the God who subdues nature. He is the one who saves me from it. He exalted me above my foes. From a violent, he has rescued me. Therefore, this morning, in CLC, I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you among my families, in my friends, in my workplace, in my community. I'm going to praise you, and I will sing praises to your name forever and ever and ever. Amen. He is worthy of it this morning. He comes through for you. Come on. Would you stand with me this morning? I feel like it would be a shame. It'd be a shame for us to come to this house, to have a moment like this in our service and not remember the goodness of God in our lives today. It'd be a shame for us to come together on this first day of June and not remember the goodness of God. David's first response was not like, I had to go through a lot of this to get here, God. You made me go through so much to get to this place. No, no, no. That was not his response. His response was, the Lord lives. The Lord is my rock. He is my Savior, and he's worthy of my praise. Hear me. You are blessed this morning. Whether you realize it or not, you're blessed. You've got air in your lungs. You rode in a car here to church this morning. You're in a blessed church. You're in a blessed nation. We've got to turn that blessing into praise. We got to turn that favor into praise to the one who made all of those things happen. And it wasn't you, it was him. Come on, can we just praise him this morning? Let's worship him this morning. He's worthy to be praised.
I'm telling you, you're holy. Oh, somehow it never gets old. Telling you, you're lovely. No, somehow it never gets old. Telling you, you're worthy. As long as I live, I'll never get tired of giving you praise. Somehow it never gets old, telling you you're holy. Somehow it never gets old, telling you you're lovely. Somehow it never gets old, telling you you're worthy.
Come on, let's worship him this morning. He's worthy of our praise. Come on, we just celebrate you this morning. There's going to be moments, right, where we're frustrated. You're going to be frustrated. I just know it. We get frustrated about the season of life that you're in. You're going to get frustrated. We're all going to walk through those seasons, and we're going to get frustrated. But then there are going to be moments in life where you get the breakthrough, where God gives you victory and he shows up. And you're going to look back and you go, that had to happen. I had to walk through that. God was in charge working all these things out for me. And for all of us, right? There will be a moment one day where we're going to stand in heaven before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you're going to look back and you're going to be like, just the fact that I got promoted here was by the grace of God. But in that moment, you're going to be able to look back and see God's hand was working in your life all along. But even today, God is working in your life for the good. And I just want to encourage you, embrace where God's got you right now. Like, embrace where God has you. When you do that, when you embrace where God has you, you're going to see the blessing and the favor of God all over your life, and he is going to promote you. But let me encourage you this morning. We're going to worship the Lord one more time, but I want to give you this final thought. When you do see that blessing, when you do see that favor, when you see God come through your season of life, when you do receive that miracle that you've been looking for, don't forget to give him praise, as he's the one who made it all happen in the first place, right? Let's don't forget to give him praise. Come on, one more time, let's worship him. It never gets old.
Somehow it never gets old, telling you you're holy. Somehow it never gets old, telling you you're lovely. Somehow it never gets old, telling you you're worthy. For as long as I live, I'll never get tired.
this morning, we pray, God, that we would never get tired of giving you praise. Lord, whether it's in the midst of the process or in the midst of the promotion, you still deserve all the praise. So I pray that today, God, that in our hearts and our minds, Lord, you have such big dreams for us. Some of us just need to submit our lives to you, Lord. I pray that you would help us to submit our ways to you. God, some of you placed some really small, faithful steps in front of us. And maybe we've been quite apprehensive to grab the small things because we're looking to the big things. Lord, I pray, God, that in all of us in here, may we embrace the small things that you placed in front of us. Knowing little by little, God, you have the promotion and the blessing and the favor for our lives. And God, I pray that finally, Lord, that we would be men and women who want to serve. That God, through serving others, through serving our church, through serving ourselves, serving our families, serving our workplaces, that through all of our service, God, we are ultimately serving you. Because, Lord, you're the God who came not to be served, but to serve. And may we model that after you today. And so, Lord, whatever season we may be walking through this morning, whatever thing we might be experiencing right now, Lord, I just pray that, God, we would embrace the process, that you have such a huge promotion for each and every one of us in this room. You have plans for our lives. You have a calling upon our lives. And Lord, let us embrace it this morning. Let us walk there. And at the end of it all, God, we can say our God is alive. Our God is our rock and our salvation. And we will celebrate him in the midst of our blessing, in the midst of our favor, in the midst of our miracles, because you are the one who does it for us. And we thank you for it. Finally, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, one final call this morning. If you're here today, you're just like, look, my praise, my celebration, my David moment begins by saying, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to say, God, here's my life. I honor you with it. I want to submit all of my life to you, my heart to you. I want to know what it means to be saved. My celebration begins by saying, God, I have not lived for you, but today I choose to live for you. And I ask you, God, to forgive me and to come into my life and to live totally for you. If that's you in this room this morning, we're not going to embarrass you. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed, but right where you're sitting in this place, would you just put your hand up and down? I want to know who I'm praying for. That was you this morning. I want to submit my life to him. Thank you. Thank you. Hands everywhere. Any more hands real quick before I pray. Finally, Lord, we just pray today, all of us in this room, that we would submit our lives to you. Here's my life. Here's my heart. I give it to you. Lord, forgive us all of our sins. Cleanse us of our unrighteousness. Let us walk with you. If you're in the room today and that's you, you just get to simply say, God, here's my life. Here's my heart. I give it to you. God, forgive me of my sins. I want to walk with you from this point forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I pray blessings upon your people today. May your face shine upon them. We love you. We honor you. We celebrate you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give it to the Lord today. Before you jet out of this place, a couple things. We have a prayer corner right here. Some board people, some prayer warriors would love to pray with you. If you're in a process or you just need some things from the Lord, find them in the corner. That's this corner over here. They want to pray with you. They want to take a moment just to lay hands on you and pray with you this morning. I would encourage you to stay around with us. If you haven't got food, run out and grab something. Hey, we're going to be hanging around for a while to spend some time in fellowship. If you're a newcomer here, we'd love to meet you in our cafe area. God bless you. Have a great week. We look forward to hanging out with you a little bit today. Go in his favor. Amen.
'Christian Life Center Weekly Podcast. Visit us online at MissoulaChurch.com.